Before I begin, this shiur is dedicated to Zeichen Nishmas Feder Bat Rav Hanoch Henoch, the mother of Rav Harvey Lichtman, whose first yahrzeit is tonight. It should be an aliyah for her neshama.
Amen.
In Parshas Mishpatim, which we read yesterday, so there are many halachas, many mitzvahs, and many halachos which are practical. But one of the most practical is found in the second half of the parsha, which, due to the complexities of the first half of the parsha, many people don't even get up to. And that is, we have a pasuk which says, in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph, it says, Lo Sisa Shem Ashav. Lo Sisa Shem Ashav means that a person should not accept false words, should not accept a false report. What does it mean, Losisa Shem Ashav? So the Chazal say that this pasuk, there are different interpretations of the pasuk, but we find there's an interpretation which is brought in Rashi, and it's also brought in other Rishonim. Rashi here says it on the pasuk, that Azhara L'mekabel Lashon Hara, that this is a prohibition against the person being Mekabel Lashon Hara, a person accepting Lashon Hara. And if you look at the sheets that were handed out, we have on the side B of the first sheet from the Shai Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, where he says, towards the end of the top paragraph, he says, V'hine huzharnu b'masha kasuv losisa shem ashov. We were warned, the Torah tells us this pasuk, to teach us shalonamin b'libeinu sipur lashon hara, that we should not believe in our hearts a story or something that we were told of lashon hara, lahachzik b'mashavteinu k'advarim emes, to accept in our minds that what we heard is in fact true, ulahavzos b'neinu as misha nemru alav, and thereby to go ahead and degrade the person whom it was said about. Which means, in simple English, that we hear, unfortunately, a lot of Lashon Hara is said in the world, and a person hears, this one did that, even if it's not something which is terrible, even if it's just a question of something which would cause someone to lose respect or cause some harm to the person whom it was said about. So that enters into the category of Lashon Hara. And the Torah tells us over here that if one hears Lashon Hara, a person is not allowed to believe it. You cannot say that, therefore, oh, I heard this story, I was in shul yesterday, and I heard such an interesting thing, or whatever, I heard something said about a certain person, and therefore, I believe it, and therefore as a result, I'm going to treat that person differently, or I'm going to lose respect for that person. This is the prohibition of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. And I chose to speak about this today. Obviously, the laws of Lashon Hara have, in our time, become more well known. We have many shiurim that are given around the world on the Isurim of Lashon Hara. There's an organization in New York, the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, which promotes the study of the halachas of Lashon Hara. But I think that sometimes what gets lost in the shuffle is that when we speak about Lashon Hara, people focus on saying the Lashon Hara, and not about the one who hears the Lashon Hara. And the Chazal say that here we have in the pasuk a specific iser against losisa shem ashav, against hearing lashon hara, and the Torah phrases it that you should not losisa, you should not accept a false report. The Chazal say this means a report of lashon hara. Why would that be called a false report? So you'll say, well, the pasuk says shem ashav, it has to be false. But let's say, well, who says it's false? Maybe what I'm hearing is true. So the Chafetz Chaim gives two reasons why this drasha can be made from this pasuk. And he explains two reasons why it's possible to say that Lashon Hara is considered automatically a false report. He says, number one, the first reason is because the one who's hearing the Lashon Hara, the one who's hearing it didn't know that it's true. And now he didn't know this at all. And now you're telling it to him, and you're telling him something which the Torah holds that he's not allowed to believe. So for that reason, it's called It's called Shem Hashav. It's called Shem Hashav because of the fact that even though it's true, we know one of the basic rules of Lashon Hara is that Lashon Hara, the prohibition of Lashon Hara applies even if it's true. In other words, people think that Lashon Hara is only on a report which is made up. If it's made up, it's not Lashon Hara. If it's made up, it's a different prohibition. It's called Motzi Shem Ra, that you're creating a bad name about somebody for no reason. The prohibition of Lashon Hara is even when the thing that you're saying is true. But the Torah calls it Shem Hashav, says the Chafetz Chaim, because of the fact that the listener did not know this to be true, and he's not allowed to, the Torah does not want him to believe it even now. So therefore, in effect, what you're telling him is a false report, because you're telling him something which he's not allowed to believe. That's one explanation. And the second explanation, he says, is on a more practical basis, that the Torah refers to such a thing as Shem Hashav because of the fact that when people say Lashon Hara, it's inevitable that that some falsehood will be mixed into the story. It's very, very rare that Lashon Hara is said over accurately. Very often, a little nuance or another little exaggeration is thrown into the report. And therefore, in effect, every piece of Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim, would be considered a false report, because there's falsehood in the report. It may be true, essentially true, but it's not completely true. And therefore, the Chazal felt that this drasha was justified, that when the Torah says, Vosisa Shem Hashav, this would include the prohibition of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. So this is something which is an isser in Lashon Hara that people, perhaps we're aware of it, but we don't always take it so seriously. We focus more on the sayer. The person should not say Lashon Hara. But in fact, the Chazal tell us, the Chafetz Chaim brings it, the Chazal tell us that accepting Lashon Hara is worse than saying it. Because the person who accepts the Lashon Hara now there's going to be damage. If Lashon Hara said about a certain person, so the one who says it, on his efforts alone, nothing will happen, because if nobody will believe it, so then, in effect, what he said is harmless. The person who believes the Lashon Hara is the one who, he's the one who establishes it, that now it's going to be damaging to the person about whom it was said. So therefore, the Chazal tell us that Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is worse than Sipur Lashon Hara, which on the one hand makes sense, and on the other hand puts us in a very difficult situation, because what that means is that oftentimes we're in situations where we're innocent bystanders, where a person could be sitting and somebody else starts saying it, and now you have a problem. You say, well, I never would have said that. Maybe so, but now we're in a situation where we're hearing the Lashon Hara. The extent of this prohibition, the Chazal said in very, very strong terms. Because if you look at the parsha, right before the pasuk that we quoted, Lo Sisa Shem Hashav, in the previous pasuk, which is talking about a different topic, the Torah says, Va'anshe kodesh shiyum li ubasa basoda trefa lo sochelu, that a person should not eat meat which is trefa, meat from an animal which is considered a trefa. This is the basis of the word tref that we say when we refer to non-kosher food. Basar basoda trefa lo sochelu, that an animal which is a trefa, which means it has a certain defect, halachic defect, even if it was a kosher animal, and even if it was shechted properly, one is not allowed to eat it. So the Torah says, what should you do with such meat? Lakelef tashlichan oso. Lakelef tashlichan oso. You should throw it to the dogs. You should throw it to the dogs. The Chazal say it's well known that this is a payback, hakaras hatov, because it says by the Yetzias Mitzrayim that the dogs didn't bark, right? That the dogs did not bark at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, as a payback to them, we have akelav tashlichon also. This is what's brought in the Chazal. However, the Chazal took note of the fact that if you look in the Sefer Torah, you will see that the words Lakelef Hashlichon Oso immediately are followed by the words Lo Sisa Shem Hashav, which means that the words you should throw it to the dogs is followed immediately by the pasuk which says you're not allowed to accept Lashon Hara, which gives rise to the very, very powerful drush of the Chazal, that a person who accepts Lashon Hara is Roy Lashlicha L'Klavim, the Gemara says. That such a person is on such strong terms that it's considered that that person is like should be thrown to the dogs. Meaning, to underscore the severity of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. So this is the mitzvah that we have in yesterday's parasha. It's probably one of the hardest mitzvahs in the Torah to follow. But this is what it means, and there are very, very few exceptions to this halacha. Which means that a person, we will see, that doesn't mean that a person cannot ever hear. There are certain forms of Lashon Hara that a person is allowed to investigate, which we'll get to soon. But nevertheless, the halacha is that pretty much always a person cannot believe it. A person cannot believe Lashon Hara. Now how do you say, so how in the world, how could I do such a thing? How is it possible for anybody to hold up to such a mitzvah? So the Chafetz Chaim gives an interesting example. He says that one could, if we use an analogy, if somebody came over to any one of us and said that somebody who we love very dearly, you know, your child was just seen walking out of a store without taking something, without paying for it. So any parent who heard that story would say right away, ah, come on, it must be, he must have paid for it before, he didn't realize, it must have been, so yeah. Right, if it was about someone who we loved and cared about, if someone would come and say such a report, we would immediately not believe it. In other words, the Torah's prohibition of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, which everybody says, ah, come on, it's impossible, how could the Torah command such a thing? How could anybody, I mean, I'm only a human being, how could I do such a thing? So the Chafetz Chaim tells us it's very much rooted in Avos Yisrael, because the person, we all know that if it was said about someone who we really cared about, we wouldn't accept it. We'd look for every teretz. We'd look for every possible explanation, and we'd say, oh, it must have been this, it must have been that, you didn't see it correctly, it could be this explanation, that explanation. And so it is with Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, that it's not just true about a person with his brother, with his biological brother, but if we say that Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, that all Jewish people are considered brothers and sisters, so then that attitude has to spread to everybody. And therefore that means that if a person hears a negative report said about a person in Kol Yisrael, you have to go ahead and do everything in your power not to believe it. Even if it's a question of whatever, you have to conjure up explanations why it could have been, but this, says the Chafetz Chaim, is because of the fact that all of Klal Yisrael are brothers. The Gemara, just to see this inside, the drush of the Chazal is here in the Gemara in Pesachim, which is on the first sheet, side A. There's a, if you look in the left hand margin, there's a line there near the part of the Gemara which we're going to begin. But this is the drush that I just mentioned. The Gemara says, Amar of Sheshis Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azaria, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, V'Kol HaMakaba Lashon Hara. Anybody who either speaks Lashon Hara or accepts Lashon Hara or says false testimony about someone else to get that person into trouble, Roy Lashlicha L'Klavim, that person is worthy of being thrown to the dogs. Shenemer Lakelav Hashlichon Also Uksiv Basrei Losis Hashem Hashav. So there you have it. This is the drush of the Chazal that we find here in the Gemara in Pesachim. Now, the halacha extends further to the fact that even if somehow we would know that the story is true, even if the Lashon Hara that we heard was we heard a story about somebody did a certain thing and we have other evidence that this story is true, there is still a mitzvah to judge a person l'kaf schus. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that the Torah says, "B'tzedek tishpot amisecha," that a person is supposed to be judged favorably, and therefore that means that a person who is held to be a God-fearing, upstanding person, so if you see them do something, you have to judge them, you have to give a Jew the benefit of the doubt. This is a halacha. If you see a person who's you know to be an upstanding, good Jew, and you see this person walk into McDonald's, and you say, ah, I caught him. See, when nobody was looking, well, he went to the 24-hour McDonald's, I saw him walking in there at 3 o'clock in the morning, when he assumed everybody was sleeping, I caught him. So the answer is, you're not allowed to say that. The person, even if he is a Beinoni, even if the person is just what we would call, let's say, average, meaning he's not necessarily known to be a tzaddik, But just the person is an upstanding Jew, we have an obligation to judge the person favorably. So you have to say, okay, must be he needed to use the bathroom. Or must be that he needed a soda and he couldn't get one anywhere else. He needed something to drink and that's where he went in. These are halachas in the Torah that the Torah obligates us in. That is a very, very difficult halachas and it runs contrary to the nature of a person. Certainly in practice we see a lot of times that a person sits and hears stories and for some reason we are prone to believe them, but the halacha is you can't believe that it happened, and even if you know that it happened, you have to try your best to judge the person favorably and to say that whatever, okay, must be there was some explanation. And again, just as we know, someone who we truly cared about or somebody who we truly respected, if you heard that person did something, we go out of our way to conjure up an explanation for why it was acceptable. So too here, says the Chafetz Chaim, we have to do whatever we can. Now, one common example of this, which comes up in our times, is that here in North Miami Beach, similar to other towns undoubtedly in the Klal Yisrael, we are inundated with mishalachim who come to our doors asking for tzedakah. Yeah, people come and say, there's this story, that story, and sometimes the somebody will come over and say, don't give this guy, he's a fraud. Don't give this guy, he's a phony. He's not. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the money, it's baloney, the story that he's saying, or whatever. Don't give him. So now, that story, that report is Lashon Hara. That report is something that's being said that's negative about this person. You don't have any reason to believe that it's true. Otherwise, the person, Stam has a cheskes kashrus, a person every Jew is presumed to be a decent person. And to the extent that Gemara says in the Seches Bava Basra that if a person walks into Beis Din and says, I need parnasa, please help me, so pretty much they're obligated to do what they can to help the person. So, as such, if someone comes over and says that this guy is a fake, so not to give him money means that you just accepted as fact the Lashon Hara. That means that with the story that what you were just told, that this person is a fraud, you just believed it. Because if you didn't believe it, why wouldn't you give him the money? If you're not giving it to him, it's because you have been convinced by this person that he's fake. And therefore the halacha is, this would be an example which comes up of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. Meaning, we'll see soon that if the person has reason to think that the person may not be on the up and up, so perhaps the right thing would be to investigate it further. But to just accept this rumor, to just accept what was said and say, that's it, I'm not giving him. This is Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, and this is something which comes up a lot. This comes up, you hear said about this one or that one, and the halacha really is that we're not allowed to believe that. The halacha extends further if something was written in the newspaper. If something is in the newspaper, we all love to read the papers, and there's nothing better, there's nothing more geschmack than to read a juicy piece in the newspaper. And you see, look what it says about this guy did this and that and the other thing. So the halacha is that the same thing with Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, that a person, even if it's printed in the paper, a person cannot accept it as fact. A person cannot, it was said about a Jew who was a God-fearing person, who we know to be a God-fearing person. If not, the din will be different, which we'll see. But if the person is known to be a decent person, and you see in the newspaper that he did this and that, which unfortunately in our times of Onsenu Arabim, we see stories of religious Jews. Just the other day was in the newspaper of a person wearing a yarmulke accused of a terrible thing, this is not something which unfortunately is as rare as it should be. But to read what it says in the paper and accept and say, he did it. That's Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. The fact that it's in the paper doesn't make it mutter. The fact that it's in the paper doesn't make it mutter. This is a big challenge when something is written about a religious person, about a decent person in the newspaper. It's better just not to read the whole article. Because everyone likes to read, everybody wants to know the dirt, everybody wants to know exactly all the gory details, but it's Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. To accept it as fact and say that this is what happened, then this would be usur as well. So all of these dinim, all of these dinim are included in the pasuk that we had in this week's parsha, losisa shem hashav. This is the prohibition of kabbalas lashon hara. Now, the simple solution that we may be thinking of is that, well, I have a way to get around it. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to listen to the lashon hara, I'm just not going to believe it. Meaning that, you know, it's such a nice article in the newspaper, it's too geschmack to pass this up. So therefore I'll read it, but I know going into it that I'm not going to believe it. Or if I'm sitting in shul and it's during a break and people get together and start to talk and people start to say this and that about this person or that person, so, alright, listen, I didn't start it. And I'm not going to believe it. I'll just, you know, I'm not going to get up and leave, but I'll just sit there, or perhaps I might even go to listen. I might go over to the gossip corner and hear, find out everything that's going on in the town, which is something that everybody enjoys doing, that I'm going to go hear everything that's going on. And listen, I know that it says in the Torah you're not allowed to accept Lashon Hara, so I'm not going to accept it. But I just want to hear what's being said. So we find in the Rambam discusses the laws of Lashon Hara. It's interesting to note that people think the only place that you find discussion of the laws of Lashon Hara is in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, but the Chafetz Chaim didn't make this stuff up. The Chafetz Chaim based everything that he said on writings of Gemaras and writings of the Rishonim. So we have in the Rambam, actually there is a parak in the Rambam that discusses the laws of Lashon Hara. This is found in the Sefer Hamada of the Rambam, the first section of the Mishnah Torah. And in the Hilchos Deos, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, and I regret that it's not on the sheet, the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says that he discusses various types of Lashon Hara, and he says that a person is not supposed to associate with someone who says Lashon Hara. The Koshkein Leisha Vimayim V'lishmoa Divrayim. The Rambam says that a person is not allowed to sit amongst people who are saying Lashon Hara and to hear what they have to say. Based on this and several other sources, the Chafetz Chaim concludes that there is a prohibition of even listening to it. The person cannot say, well, I'll hear it and I won't believe it. That's not something that one could say l'chatchila. If Lashon Hara is being said, you can't go there. So if you know they're sitting and schmoozing and they're saying things about people, a person not allowed to go into that situation. And again, this is something which is very, very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing for us to go by. But nevertheless, this is the halakha. And we find further, which is brought in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where it says that Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, was known as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. So at the end of his life, when he wrote out his tzavah, he wrote out his will, so he spoke it over with his son. He had a son whose name was Horkanus, who apparently was named after his father, because Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was known as Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. So he told his son the following thing. We have the text of the tzavah that he told his son. And he said, B'ni al teshev b'chaburas ha'omrim rami chavreyem. He said, do not sit in groups of people who speak badly of their friends. Ki keshadvarim olim lamala, because these words go up to heaven. The sefer nechtavim, they're written in a book. They're written down. V'chol ha'omdim sham nechtavim b'shem chaburas b'alei lashon hara. And everybody who is associated with that group gets cited for being part of a chabura, a group of Bali Lashon Hara. So this was what Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol had to tell his son. He said, listen, presumably his son was a good person, and his son wasn't going to be the type that was going to speak Lashon Hara, but he made a special tzavah where he told his son, make it your business not to sit amongst people who say Lashon Hara, because of the fact that here we say guilt by association, because the Chazal speak about the negative term chaburas Lashon Hara, a group of people saying Lashon Hara, and even a person who just sits and listens is included in that group. So thus we have the prohibition of not only accepting Lashon Hara, but even listening to Lashon Hara. So now we get to the point that I wanted to cover. Now, these, I think, are all halachas that in our times have become well known, and they're very difficult. It's kedai just to say them over, even dvarim pshutim, even simple things. It's once a year, it's worth hearing these halachas because of the fact that they are very challenging. But yet, the feeling is that apparently, if the Torah said that a person shouldn't do it, then that means that we're able to hold by this. So the question is, the question which is discussed at length in the poskim is, but sometimes I might need to hear Lashon Hara. Sometimes I might need to hear it. For example, if a person commonly comes up, sorry about that, excuse me, commonly comes up, if a person is searching out information about a person to go into business with. If you're looking for a business partner or someone to go into a deal with, and the person, somebody comes forward and says, you know, this guy that you're thinking of going into business with, you know, you may not know him so well, but he has a little bit of a reputation. So the question is, do I have to ignore that? Or what about a situation where we say that the nogeya pertaining to a shidduch? Where very often in shidduchim, people are dealing with strangers. And the other side is people. You know, somebody suggested a match for a child, a son or a daughter. Right? Yeah, here, I have a good shidduch for them, and you want to know these are strangers. I don't know who these people are, so I want to find out: are they good people? I have every reason to be interested in checking them out. So, is that included in the halacha of accepting or even listening to Lashon Hara? So we have here, it's brought in the we have Sukkim here on the second sheet, the first side. There's a very interesting section in Sefer Yirmiyah which says as follows. This part of Yirmiyah deals with in the history of the Klal Yisrael, the time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash by the king of Bavel, and we are told in the Navi that they appointed a Jew by the name of Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor over the Jewish people still living in Eretz Yisrael. He was appointed by the government of Bavel that he should be their representative, this man Gedaliah ben Achikam, who we know to this day as the fast of Tzom Gedaliah, that we fast on the day after Rosh Hashanah because of the murder of this man Gedaliah, which we'll see right now. So if you look here in the book of Yirmiyah, it says, it's in Perek Mem, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says like this, the Pasuk says, V'yochanan ben Koreach, v'chol soreach ayom asher basod evor al gedalyo ha-mitzvasa. That there was a man by the name of Yochanan ben Koreach, who came together with others to Gedaliah, and they told him the following thing. They told him, they gave him a warning. They said that there is a man by the name of Yishmael ben Nesanya, a Jew by the name of Yishmael ben Nesanya, who has been hired or appointed to assassinate you. This is the report that was given to Gedaliah. So the pasuk concludes by saying, "V'lo hemin lahem Gedaliah ben Achikam," that Gedaliah did not believe it. He was told. In other words, the murder of Gedaliah, which we to this day mourn, was something that he was tipped off. He had information in advance. The CIA called him up and they told him, "We have reason to believe that you're a marked man, and the person who's out to get you is Yishmael ben Nesanya." And the pasuk tells us that Gedaliah did not accept this. So the psukim continue. If we skip down a few psukim, so it says in the next parak memal of pasuk aleph, which is the beginning of the next paragraph. So the pasuk says that by Yehuda Kodesh Hashvi by Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama Yizera Malucha Rabbi Amelech, the Yishmael ben Nesanya and others came El Gedaliah ben Achikam HaMitzvah. They came to Gedaliah, meaning that the man who he had been warned about showed up. The man who he had been told to is out to get him showed up, and the pasuk says, "Vayochul sham lechem yachta b'mitzvah." The Gedaliah did not want to; he did not believe this lashon hara that he was told that this man was out to get him. To the extent that he sat down and he ate bread with him. So it says in the next pasuk, "Vayochem Yishmael ben Nesanya." So sure enough, this Yishmael ben Nesanya got up. Vaseres hanoshim shohayu ito. They got up when they had some degree of privacy. They got up and they took a sword, and sure enough, they murdered Gedaliah. Gedaliah was murdered precisely by the man who he had been warned was out to get him. It says, "Vayomis also Asher Hifkid Melech Bavel Baaretz." The man, he who had been appointed by the king of Bavel to be the governor of the Jewish population, he was killed. And the pasuk continues and says a few psukim later, it says that this pasuk is quoted. We'll see if we turn now to the next sheet, the second sheet, side B. So if we have here the Gemara Nidon in the Samach Aleph. So the Gemara says the following thing. If the Gemara says on the second wide line towards the bottom, so it says. The pasuk proceeds to say that this Yishmael ben Nesanya was not finished. He was not finished just simply by killing Gedaliah, but he went ahead and killed other people. And it says in the pasuk that the people that he killed, the pasuk refers to them as the people Asher Hika Biyad Gedaliah, that they were killed by Gedaliah. In other words, Yishmael ben Nesanya went ahead and not only killed Gedaliah but killed other people, and the pasuk refers to the other people that he murdered as people who were murdered by Gedaliah. So the Gemara asks, what's going on? The Gemara says, "V'chi Gedaliah hargan, v'alo Yishmael hargan." The Gemara says, what are we saying here? Gedaliah wasn't the one who killed them. Yishmael killed them. Gedaliah himself was killed by Yishmael. So how does the pasuk refer to the people who subsequently were murdered by Yishmael as those killed by Gedaliah? Says the Gemara, "Elo mitov shehayu lo lochush latzas Yochanan ben Kereach." Because of the fact that he should have been lochosh, he should have been concerned about the report that he was given about Yochanan ben Kareach, he was warned, the lochosh, and he didn't concern himself with it. The Gemara says, so therefore, all the subsequent murders that took place at the hands of this Yishmael ben Nesanya was considered as if Gedaliah did it himself. Why? I will say, well, Gedaliah was an innocent victim. He was a tzaddik. He was an innocent victim. And now he's being blamed for murders that took place at the hand of someone else. The answer is, says the Gemara, because he totally ignored the lashon hara that he was told. But what he should have done was, he should have at least concerned himself with the lashon hara that he heard. And to this end, the Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rava," that Rava says, "Hai Lishna Bisha," that when it comes to lashon hara, "Afal pi d'lekabule lomi boy," even though a person is not allowed to be mekabel lashon hara, a person not allowed to accept it, but nevertheless, "Meichus lomi boy," a person is allowed to go ahead and concern himself with it. A person is allowed to concern himself with it, but not to accept it. So you'll say, what is the difference between concerning yourself with it and accepting it? So we find further that the Gemara continues with another story. The Gemara says, "Hanu beglila denofik alayu kola dekotel nafsha," that there were a group of Jews about whom the rumor was going out that they had murdered somebody. Osul kameda Rav Tarfon. So the Gemara says they came to Rav Tarfon amrulei with tamrinan mar. They came to Rav Tarfon and they said, "Please hide us. Hide us somewhere in the Beis Medrash. They won't think to look here. Put us in some place where we can be concealed from the authorities." So the Gemara says, "Amar luhu hechi navid." So Rav Tarfon said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "Ilo atamrichu." He said, I don't know what to do. If I don't hide you, chazu yasaychu, then you're going to be seen. You're going to be discovered. On the other hand, atamrinchu, if I go ahead and harm you, ha'amar rabbanan, the rabbanan said, hi lishna bisha, avogafdu l'kibuli lo miboy, mekushlei, miboy. He said, but on the other hand, on the one hand, if I don't hide you, you're going to be caught. On the other hand, if I do hide you, then I'm guilty of not listening to what the Chachamim said, that one should be at least suspecting, one should be concerned with Lashon Hara that he hears. So he said, Zilu osun tamru nafshaychu. He said, so I cannot help you. I cannot help you, go hide yourselves. Why did he decide not to hide them? So Rashi says that the reason why he didn't want to hide them is because it could be that they really did the murder, and if he did the murder, then I'm not allowed to conceal you from the authorities, because I guess then they would be considered dangerous. However, Tosfos on the side of the page quotes from one of the Gaonim, Shultus the Rav Achoy, that he says that the pshat is that the reason, what Rav Tarfon meant was that the reason why I'm not allowed to hide you is because if I hide you and they find out about it, then I will get into trouble. Then I will get into trouble. And that is what the Chachamim meant when they said you're allowed to be concerned about Lashon Hara, meaning Sheyesh Lachush Tosfos says, Lahamin Lashon Hara Lahamin Lagabezeh Sheyizar Shelo Yavo Lo Hefsid Velo Lacherim. Tosfos says that what it means that a person should be concerned about Lashon Hara, it means that you're not allowed to believe it, but you're allowed to be concerned about it to avoid it causing harm either to yourself or to other people. And therefore, this is the heter. This is where we have the opportunity to get involved in things which may be negative reports, which sometimes we need to know. This would be the heter, meaning that when it comes to a business deal, or it comes to a shidduch, or it comes to hiring a person for a job, and you want to do research on the, and it's a Jewish person who applied, and you say, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to ask around, I'm going to try to dig up some dirt on this person, so that's either speaking Lashon Hara or accepting Lashon Hara. The answer is it's neither. Because Lashon Hara, if there is a benefit, and it could save a person from harm, whether it will save me from harm or it will save another person from harm, so that type of Lashon Hara a person is allowed to listen to with the purpose not of believing it, but with the purpose of avoiding it. So that if a person hears in a calls up about, you know, should I go, should I hire this person, well, he has this shortcoming. So that's good enough. If that shortcoming is significant, that would be good enough to say that I'm going to be concerned about it, I'm not going to hire the person. But I don't believe that it's really true about that person. And therefore I won't lose respect for that person. I'm concerned about it, I'm worried it may be true, but I'm not convinced that it's true. And there's a very big difference between those two things. Between accepting it as fact, meaning that I'm sure this person is this way, which is usur, that's usur, even if it's going to save from harm, that you cannot believe that, you cannot say, I'm sure it's true. However, you could say, look, I have the right to protect myself, I have the right to save someone else from harm, and therefore, if I hear this, I go, listen, what can I tell you, this person, I cannot, in self-defense, I cannot go ahead and offer this person a position, or I cannot enter into a business arrangement, or I could not do a shidduch with such a person out of the concern that it might be true. Out of the concern that it might be true. But to go ahead and accept this as fact and say, this person, I heard the guy's a ganav, right? Oh, that's it, forget it. He's a ganav, I'm not going to talk to him anymore, I'm not going to give him an aliyah, I'm not going to count him into a minion, whatever, or we won't invite him for kiddush, or who knows what types of punishments we go out to people, that you're not allowed, that a person is not allowed. But the heter of Lashon Hara is lamechash boy, is that a person is allowed to be concerned. So therefore, on the one hand, we have this pasuk which tells us that you're not allowed to accept Lashon Hara, But that does, and that's considered a very severe thing, and that's considered even more severe than saying the Lashon Hara, because that confirms that there's going to be damage. Nevertheless, Lamechash, the Gemara says, to be concerned, a person is allowed. And I just very briefly want to discuss two other scenarios where it's possible to listen to Lashon Hara. One of them would be if a person is unburdening themselves to you. Very often it happens that somebody's very angry at somebody else. Somebody just did something, and I gotta tell you, you'll never believe what just happened. I can't believe it. I went to this guy, and this is what this fellow in the shul, this friend of ours, I went over, and this is what he did to me. So the halacha is that if you feel that you, by listening to this person, you can calm them down. You can calm them down, that they won't go ahead and repeat it to more people. So then you're allowed to listen to the Lashon Hara, because of the fact that that's considered Lashon Hara for a mitzvah. Because if you don't calm this person down, then the same way he's saying it to you, he's going to say it to 20 other people. And therefore the Lashon Hara will get spread more and more. But if you have the ability, now you have to know that you have the ability to calm him down. It's not always the case. It has to be somebody that you have a good relationship with. But in such a situation, you have the right to listen to it for the purpose, for Dvar Mitzvah, for the purpose of the person blowing off the steam and saying to him, listen, you know, I understand you're very upset, but whatever, it's not, this is, maybe you're missing this point, or maybe this is why the person did it, or whatever. You're saving Lashon Hara from being said over more times. That would be considered a Dvar Mitzvah of listening to Lashon Hara. Another scenario where it would also be mutter, it would be permitted to listen to Lashon Hara, is if, again, for a Dvar Mitzvah, if you feel that by listening to it, you could prove to the person who's saying it that he misunderstood what happened. That he didn't, you know the situation also. And he misunderstood, he was insulted by something somebody did, and you know that it wasn't meant as an insult, he didn't interpret the incident correctly. So for that also, that's also considered a Dvar Mitzvah, because when you do that also prevents Lashon Hara from being said further, and it'll prevent even the person himself who's saying it, that now maybe he'll rethink the whole situation. So when it's said for a Dvar Mitzvah, it would be mutter to listen to it. It would be mutter to listen to it also to save a person from harm, and even if it's not me, to save somebody else from harm. That's also mutter to listen to Lashon Hara. If you feel that you could listen to it, but again, if the person has a cheskes kashrus, if the person is held to be a decent human being, the halacha is you're not allowed to believe it as fact. You can't say, I'm sure this is what happened. So we had is if this is a very challenging mitzvah, one of the most challenging in the Torah, we have had recently, you know, over the, I'm sorry? To repeat it to someone else, you can't, unless you can't repeat it to somebody.
You can be cautious yourself.
You can be cautious yourself to repeat it to somebody else, unless you know, unless you checked it out. Unless you checked it out yourself. If you just heard Lashon Hara about somebody, to repeat it to somebody else, the Chafetz Chaim says that means you believed it. Because if you believed it, what are you telling it to somebody else for? So you could on your own take actions to prevent somebody else from harm. You could try to do what you can to prevent another person from being harmed, but to repeat it, you cannot do unless you checked it out. If you checked it out yourself, with the words of Lashon Hara, we're speaking now, Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is when you just heard somebody say something, but if you checked it out yourself and you know it's true, so then you could go ahead to somebody else and tell them, look, this fellow who's approaching you is a ganef, or this person who's, you know, and that would save somebody else from harm. But just to repeat a rumor that you heard from somebody else, that you couldn't do either. So these are some of the halachas that we have in the mitzvah in yesterday's parsha of not accepting Lashon Hara. The Rav Avram Pams, that's all, the Rav Shiva of Tzara V'Das, very often said that Lashon Hara in itself, that all the fights that are made in the attempts to eradicate Lashon Hara from our midst, he used to say that this is really an attempt to, like a doctor attacking the symptoms without attacking the source of the problem. meaning that a lot of times the Lashon Hara is said because what's really lacking is an Avos Yisrael. The Avos Yisrael, as we mentioned at the beginning, is the key to avoiding Lashon Hara. And as much as we hear these halachas from time to time, and I don't think I said anything here that anybody considers any big chiddush, but the fact is that when we hear these halachas from time to time, and you say to yourself, ah, come on, it's too much, the Torah can't expect such a thing, it's really what we have to say to ourselves is, if you just focus on the laws of Lashon Hara, it seems overwhelming and almost impossible to go by. But if we consider, as the Chafetz Chaim says, the position of Avos Yisrael, a person who we truly care about, a good friend, we would defend to the end. In spite of overwhelming evidence, we would do whatever was in our power to prove, to defend the person. Ah, you didn't see it right, it doesn't make sense, it can't be, I have to check it further, it must be a misunderstanding. Or even if it was found that the person did it, you say, well, it was obviously, my father wasn't feeling well that day, or something bad must have happened, he didn't have clarity of thought, whatever it is, the same way we would defend our friend, everyone in Klal Yisrael is supposed to be our friend. This is the yisod of the laws of Lashon Hara. It's not that the Torah is putting an insurmountable burden on people and basically making their lives miserable, but rather what the Torah is in fact saying is that every Jew has to be like our brother, that every Jew has to be like our sister, and therefore if you have such a thing, you have to defend them. And this is really the message of the parsha that we have to take to heart. To just study the halachas of Lashon Hara doesn't help that much. It doesn't. I mean, it makes an awareness, but it's not going to stop. If next Shabbos there's a group of people who are sitting and talking over all the things that are going on in the town, you can learn the halachas of Lashon Hara, but the temptation is too great. What really, in order for these halachas to be meaningful, is that the Klal Yisrael has to focus more on the Ava of every Jew. If we have the Ava for every person, then we'll be a lot better in a lot of ways, and certainly the halachas of Lashon Hara, whether it's speaking or accepting, will become a lot easier to deal with.